Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. We have the full six-man team here tonight.
Washoi.
And we're going to talk about quite a few bits of Rider-related news that have come up this week.
A lot of news.
So much things.
Cast Ranger Katak! Do the roll call! We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material, Green Caster, Zenshi!
Actually White, Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lightred! Rising from the Ashes, Silver Caster, Overkill!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Otsukare! Alright, getting into our news corner. First in the docket, and arguably the most important, is the apparent real identity of Tokyu Nanago.
It's the conductor!
It's the motherfucking conductor of the Rainbow Line.
Is the...
And not Zed.
Yeah, it's
and
not Zed.
Not Zed, like we thought.
It's not Zed.
There's a scan of him and all.
So apparently the story behind it is that he, since the Tokujers went to be, you know, kids.
Actually grew up.
Yeah, no, but the quick plot is they lost their imagination, so the conductor is the new Tokuger, and so he has to bring their imagination back. But apparently in this process, now Wagon is the new conductor, and now she has Ticket on her hand. So I'm just worried about some, like, Wagon-esque looking Ticket.
And I was completely mind-blown when I first saw and we all laughed our asses off.
I laughed my fucking ass off at work.
And I'm like... What kind of random-ass, non-thematic DLC bullshit is this? What's next? Fucking George Carlin and his character as Mr. Conductor as DLC for Mortal Kombat X?
Tokyu Hachi is Wagon.
At this point, it wouldn't surprise me! By the way, George Carlin from Mortal Kombat X, get the petition going.
He's totally dead! How is he gonna get lying?
He's dead for quite some time.
So is Freddy Krueger!
The actor isn't dead!
Freddy Krueger's dead.
Half the cast of Mortal Kombat is dead!
Lieutenant,
I can't make deads and tails of this!
Oh!
Wah, wah.
You did not see!
So yeah, in the upcoming Tokyuger Returns movie,
this is such disbelief that I swear to Christ that, like, shopped onto the suit.
I know, right?
It doesn't look like it's done very well.
Just, it looks like it's some gag.
Some shitty Photoshop.
Oh, look at this, I didn't know, that's it.
I think the best way to summarize this is, I never would have seen this coming, not in my wildest imagination.
You know what, though? He did always kind of say, like, in the show, oh, I want to be a Tokyo.
He tried to be Rokugo once.
That was the running gag, is that he's... Why not, though?
And now the running...
No, you can't.
This is a case...
Oh, okay.
This is a case of the director who wants to act.
And now he got his chance.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, there's a nice shot in the same scan... of adult and child Tokuichigos
fighting
together.
Yeah, somehow they meet their fucking childhood forms.
Imagination!
Like, okay.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Double rainbow, you guys!
We also confirm in the same scan that Tokyu Nanago does go hyper at some point, which is awesome.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Why not?
Alright.
Because nobody else is gonna fucking do it.
Moving right along.
Anyone else can fucking do it!
Yeah, but they don't have their powers in the beginning of the thing.
Hey, this is where I leave!
God, this.
What the fuck is that?
Moving right along.
You're about to find out, Paul.
What the fuck is that?
We got a clip of the Henshin for Kamen Rider Drive Type High Speed from one
of the
side
What the fuck is that? Fucking Ubuki!
This is showing months ago.
Hang on.
We're gonna take a quick pause here while I show everyone the clip of Type High Speed. And now you've seen the clip.
Paul likes it.
Thoughts?
That's
That's his thought. That's his canon.
That's going to be a figure. It's going to be a Tamashii Web exclusive. That's
I will my buy it.
My favorite part of that was Kiriko in a suit with a mustache drawn on, doing the deepest fucking voice.
Yeah.
So, you know how all of the type shift cards require an emotional state? Type wild requires you be fired up. Technic requires you be cool. Apparently, type high speed's gimmick is you must be a gentleman.
Someone get me a cigarette.
I love that chauvinist.
Have your own cigarette.
Have your own.
So,
I love it just as he's transforming, he's just like.
He's like he's flourish. Like,
yeah.
And it has a diamond on it.
Are we sure this wasn't a Deno crossover and he was possessed by Sieg?
Well, that would make sense since it sounded like the villain was voiced by Momotaros.
Fair. His form is a Bentley.
I just like the, I just really like how he's, like, so cool and suave. He's like, shall we drive?
Yeah.
I like it when you go to, when he goes to hedge, start your engine.
And even the chime is, like, slowed down.
Yeah, slowed down.
Start your engine.
The form's got, like, I forget the word for it. He's got the wing piece on the front. The
ornament.
The hood ornament. On his helmet. And he's got, like, grills on the shoulders with the golden drive emblem. And a fucking pleather-ass tire!
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
It's gorgeous.
It's so pretentious and gaudy, but it's so beautiful.
I think it's the luxury car.
I think they could have stood to take the spoiler off of it and maybe give it the proto-drive bits.
Type speed is like a Pontiac GTO or something like that. This is like a Buick Grand National or a fucking, like, Cadillac DeVille.
This is now the top
for that one other Toku fan that is also knowledgeable of cars.
Yeah.
That listened to our show.
Or, yeah. like a Bentley Continental or something like that. This is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so pretentious
and
beautiful.
So yeah, we'll talk about that special when it gets subbed. Moving along. We got some actual official images of Kamen Rider Chaser.
I like them.
This is going to be the divisive discussion.
I kind of really like it.
Yay, divisive discussions!
All kinds of meh.
I don't like Kamen Rider Double Fang Chaser. No. White and purple don't mix like this. It just doesn't work. He looks like he's trying to rip off the White Blaster Beetleborg and did so poorly.
Did they do a good job thematically? Absolutely. What I don't like is that Chase didn't stick to what he's always been, and I understand that they made a necessary change to make him visually seem like he's made the switch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just, when your first form is Proto Drive, your second form is Machine Chaser, your final thing
this doesn't
falls
seem like,
short.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a proper step in the right direction.
Just as I was like, it should have been the other way around.
I kind of
purple
really like
with
it,
silver
though.
Trim.
Yeah, it absolutely.
Keep that. I don't, sure, whatever, that's fine, but the color is what throws me off completely.
I know, right?
The white with purple trim makes it bland as all friggin' hell.
I kind of really like it. I like the motif. I like the style. I like the fake abs.
I can agree that the color like is a bit weird, but I can grow. It grows.
The
on
spoiler
me.
The helmet.
See,
the antenna on his head
I do
is
not,
fucking awesome.
I do not mind the color of it at all. It's that helmet just kind of.
I don't have a problem.
The helmet's still supposed to represent
the
like,
shape.
The
I
under
the shape
band.
And decoration
for,
of the helmet.
I actually think his normal Machine Chaser helmet looks better than that. I really do.
I agree with you. I don't hate the shape and design of the helmet. It is the colors. But the other thing that bugs me is
the shape and design that bugs me. That's the problem.
The thing is, he's got the Machine Chaser skull emblem still on the shoulder, and I think that shouldn't be there because isn't he trying to like be a whole retribution story and not be like the Grim Reaper anymore?
No, but dude, like he drives on a hog and
yeah,
stuff.
No, I know, but that has nothing to do with his new powers. He just has still that bike.
He's the other side of that Evel Knievel sort of look. Like whereas Go is sort of like the tassels everywhere and like flying around on like, you know, the souped up pretty looking bike. He's the one on the hog that makes the fiery loop jumps. Like, he's Circus
Gravedigger at Georgia Dome.
Yes, that sort of thing. He's a loop jumper.
Georgia Dome!
And he still has the brake gunner, apparently. Yeah.
He's a loop.
And you know what?
Because he needed a ranged weapon.
I get it. I think it's so dumb.
I like it.
You know,
I think it's so dumb because Proto Drive used something else. Machine Chaser used the brake gunner. The fact that he has a belt now and he has a weapon for this form, I feel like using the Henshin device of his last form as a weapon is a really big shoehorn.
I know, right? It would have been just as easy for him to use the viral cores in the belt, which we know it can do because we've heard the sounds.
If it doesn't, they go in the hammer.
Or the axe. But the reason the tire, the Koron wheel is on his back, the reason the wheel's on his back instead of his shoulder is because he's going to use the viral cores like Machine Chaser did.
Yes.
But that could have been achieved just as easily by putting the viral cores in the belt, which we know it can do.
For him
to have the brake gunner with which to activate the viral cores is redundant.
I don't know if this is what you read or just what you believe. Frankly, I think you're correct. I still think it's dumb. The axe is going to be too heavy for him to just swing around all the time, so it's a lighter change of weaponry.
Yeah, I guess.
Has something.
So if he's in a close quarter situation,
sidearm.
He'll have to react. Yeah. So he's
Which,
just like gun
yes,
break.
That logic is sound, but I think it's sloppy execution.
No, I don't think he's going to do the break.
When he's
no reason not to.
When he's using his belt and he's putting his virus cores and cars into it. In order to use his Hisots and stuff like that, he's got to take it out of his belt and put it in his weapon, right?
That is one way he can do that.
Yeah, I was going to say...
You can also just throttle the button.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with this, he can actually... He has another thing that also takes shift cards and viral cores, so he can use two at once, theoretically.
Technically, even three. Belt, brake gunner, signal axe, but I'm sure they won't go that far.
It's just an improvement on the system, so he doesn't
have
to disengage.
We still don't know how he did triple tune with just the brake gunner. Let's not get that far ahead.
Also, because of how entirely plausible it is, and I totally think they're going to do it, Kamen Rider Chaser Dead Heat.
That's what I was thinking
it's
about earlier.
It's a signal bike.
It could happen.
He uses signal bikes now, doesn't he? Well,
yeah, in the cause
yeah,
he's got
whatever
the belt.
That
he henshins with a signal bike version of his bike.
Yeah,
right there.
So yeah, I was like
signal chaser.
I was like, he uses signal bikes, so he can very well use Dead Heat.
I would love to see Chaser Dead Heat.
The mock driver has been shown to be able to use shift cars anyway, so
exactly.
He can use both.
Which means Chaser is the one rider who can use all three types of vehicles.
If I can just put my opinion of Kamen Rider Chaser out there, I agree with you guys that the white and the purple is a mite bland. I get it, and also it doesn't match his shift car in any way, really. I feel like they were just trying to go with the idea of...
Making him a more holy warrior type thing?
No.
I think
although,
it's because it's the mock system,
I'm
and
sure
mock is white to begin with.
I'm sure there's something to be said about the fact that he started off as a purely dark-colored rider. He turned into something with a bit of color to him that was neither light nor dark, and then he turns into white. However, I just kind of feel like they're trying to go with the fact that it's built with the same system that Go's belt is built on, so I'm guessing they just sort of made changes to the base armor that they had there. I'm guessing they just went with a time is of the essence sort of idea, and they just tried to make
So you're saying this is a kit bash?
Yeah, it's basically just they took pieces from... It kind of reminds me of when you're building a kit car, or you're taking pieces off of another car in order to fix a problem. You would it feels like they're just taking the chassis or the basis for Kamen Rider for Go's Rider Mach, and they just basically used it to rebuild his Machine Chaser
body.
Well,
okay, moving a little bit more ahead in Drive, Mach's Henshin belt gets destroyed in this episode.
No, I know that,
and so they're gonna rebuild it.
Yeah.
So then. That makes, Rina, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
she's going to know about the belt, and she's going to make the belt for Chaser.
Sure, but like I said,
that's what I mean. So I think the reason...
We don't know for sure that's how it happened. All we know for sure is Mach's belt gets damaged.
And so it may be that American guy comes back, Hartley, whatever.
Riding in on a Harley.
Yeah, comes in, fixes the belt, and goes, oh, I can make him a belt because he was once a rider.
Well, what I'm trying to say is they've got a ready-made kit with their purely American-made, higher-end rider systems with Mach. They've already got a ready-made kit, and they've got a damaged roid mute in front of them. Basically, what I think is they just took parts from that kit and used it to build this form for him.
Actually,
you see, the thing is, he looks just bland enough that I would completely believe that the suit was a kit bash.
The thing is that they released information of the next shift car that's out, and it's a shift car that fuses humans with roid mutes. It's called the Next Generation Roid Mutes.
Oh, the Neo-Viral Corps.
Yeah, so I think that is literally what Chase was.
That's cool.
I think that is literally what Chase was. He was a human and a roid mute, and when the core exploded out of Chase, because he was a prototype, remember?
Oh, so, that's pretty possible.
So when the core blew out of Chase, he's now a human.
Back to my original point, though. I agree with you, the color scheme is a little bit bland, with the purplish maroon and the whitey silver.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I really like his design. Like, color palette aside, his design looks pretty boss
to me.
I
like those shoulders.
Yeah, the shoulders really...
Those are my favorite part of the suit, by far.
And I love his helmet.
I kind of like the Gundam crown. I'm kind of the opposite of... I don't like asymmetrical things. I'm not a big fan of the asymmetrical helmet over there with the big...
I was going to say, the helmet is asymmetrical, the chest piece is asymmetrical.
Well, that's more acceptably asymmetrical, though. Like, that's like, look at this big honking piece of purple metal at the top.
Well,
like,
this is really just Machine Chaser with some white.
Yeah, and with his front grill ripped off, basically, for his mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's not that it ripped off, it's more that it receded over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more compact,
it's like they shoved some of the tech to the side.
All I'll say is I prefer this far more than Machine Chaser.
I have to disagree with you. I
will also disagree. I like Machine Chaser better.
Nope.
I think he looked really, really cool. He reminded me exactly of what I was describing this as. He's that guy who jumps on the hog and then drives through a flaming hoop. He's the guy at the monster truck rallies who's jumping huge lines of trucks. He's that sort of guy, and he's the Frankenstein themed one, and he's really cool. But this guy's he's got that performer aspect.
And that giant axe is just fucking awesome.
Oh,
I like the axe. We've talked about it before, though.
I like the axe a lot.
I like the axe itself.
And then it's got freaking signal.
Really,
and the toy is gonna be so shitty. And I'm going to be so mad.
It's going to be good.
It's
going to
be like
small.
The gavel. It's going to be like that fucking dongery gavel.
Oh, the donkachi?
Yeah.
It's so...
It's going to be tiny and terrible.
Big and clunky.
I don't know. Oh, Cox Calories.
In related news...
Oh, that type back.
There was a mention that apparently Hart gives Chase proto-speed back. I hope he uses it somehow.
That's type Batman.
That's proto-speed.
That's what I said, type Batman.
Yeah, sure. Anyways, we won't go any further into ride-related news. Moving on to Ninja stuff, we have discovered...
Wait, we're talking about the episode.
No, we're not talking about
news.
The episode yet.
This is
still the news corner.
Sentai news section.
Oh, okay.
So, we've discovered the identity... Well, not discovered, it was revealed. The identity of Star Ninja, and sorry to say, but it is not Ishitaka.
Damn.
Wasted opportunity.
Yep, totally wasted.
Unless he starts out as it and then hands this guy the powers.
So who is this douche canoe?
Walker Texas Ranger.
From Japan.
Well,
right?
He is...
So...
Okay, his story is that he's from America and he wanted... He, like...
Wakaru, Texas.
The grandpa... the grandpa...
Wakaru!
No, the grandpa, like... He saw him when he was in America
Texas
or something
Ranger.
Like that. He was inspired by him, so... He also wants to become the last ninja, so he comes over to Japan from America to, like... train to become the last ninja.
His name is Kinji Takigawa, and he dresses like a goddamn sheriff.
Yep.
My God, he just...
Good for you!
Hi, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Jesus.
Literally.
Texas Ranger.
He's got a sidekick who's like the silver one, and it's like Treveto.
Wait, is that the Megazord?
So this is his Zord, Rodeo Maru.
That's pretty cool, actually.
God damn, that's hideous.
And the other Zord he's got is this little buggy called the Bison King Buggy.
Because, of course.
If it wasn't Sky Blue.
Right?
And then... They merge into the rodeo, or Rodeo King or...
Just that Robin's whatever egg the fuck blue it's called. Bullshit. Like, what even is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the blue one, Rodeo Motor, was kind of distracting.
But I like the design. Like the humanoid design I kind
of
dig.
It's
like,
a clone of Shinobi Motor.
Yeah, but it looks pretty decent. If that was a darker blue, I'd be so much more behind it.
Yeah.
Like, if that was, like, a nice, deep blue.
If it matched the blue on fucking Star Ninja's arms, that'd be better.
Just right?
Terrible.
Anyways, that's about it for Star Ninja. And the last bit of Ninja-related news is, this is actually happening in the series, not in any sort of special. Guesting on Ninja, Episode 7, I believe, which is not the coming week, but the week after.
Cocker Ranger, and wow.
Hurricane Red, and fucking the original Ocaranger.
Well, yes, apparently April 5th...
Because the only other Sentai that used the Japanese color name.
Because April 5th, 1975 is when Go Ranger premiered. And so if it wasn't for that delay that they had that 1 week, this episode would actually premiere on the 5th of April.
Wow, so that delay really fucked up their schedule.
Yep. So this is the 39th Sentai, but technically it's the 40th, because Go Ranger lasted fucking like 80-something episodes.
Yeah. But they're also releasing as promos actual Ninshuriken toys of Red Ninja and Hurricane Red.
Yup.
So... that'll be cool.
Yay.
Their Beyblade attack rings look like Dragoon.
I love Cocker Ranger.
Oh, yeah, there's this.
Oh, no, Cocker Ranger suits are so good.
So nice.
So, yeah, there's a Cocker Ranger Shuriken and a Hurricane Shuriken.
Kind of want the Hurricane
Cocker Ranger. Ninja.
According to the info, the Cocker Ranger one lets them either all become red or make clones or something, and the Hurricane one is some sort of flying kick attack. I imagine since watching Hurricane Ranger, you probably know what that is. Maybe the description is here.
Or maybe that's just pictures of...
Hurricane Red Soraga Ken?
It's just a butt kick.
Do you know what that is?
Nope.
Okay.
He hasn't watched Hurricane
Oh, yeah, so yeah, the Cocker Ranger one is a clone technique. Okay. So cool. Yeah, that's going to happen shortly on Ninja. Anyone else have any news before we move on to the episode?
I mean, aside from that Strike a Pose game...
Oh, yeah, you want to talk about that? I read about that.
I literally just saw a post on it, and then I just kind of glanced over it. So there's a game, an arcade game that came out in Japan. Basically, you strike a pose and the little LED screen that's just huge just transforms you into Drive.
So it's less a game than a photo booth.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's just, you do the pose and...
and it matches your body size, so like, children do this and they become mini Drive.
Yeah.
It's so adorable.
That is totally
adorable. They should have added like a Tokuser function.
Yeah.
Do fat people become fat Drive?
I'd like to see that, actually.
Well, Chris, time to buy it.
Gotta buy that.
It's
arcade.
An arcade cabinet.
Yeah. Time to buy it, Chris.
Stick by what he said.
No. Stick by that.
I'm not spending thousands of dollars on a photo booth.
But you get to be Drive.
But you get to be Drive, he says. But you get to be Drive, guys!
What more could a little boy ask for, Ichi?
Every thumbnail from now on will be a pose from that game. Kabuki poses?
We don't
god
need
damn it.
It.
Yeah.
No, they're oh god no poses.
Okay, I guess that's it for news.
That is literally it for news.
Yep.
Alright, moving on to the Drive episode.
Ooh, Drive all number. We need is Drive!
My goodness. All we need is this drive.
So the first thing I noticed is they've added Dead Heat Mach and Type Formula to the opening, which is cool.
Yeah. Because now that he has Type Formula, he kind of doesn't need Dead Heat, so I guess Dead Heat is going to become like regulated more to Mach.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because I like Formula better for Drive, and honestly, like,
this episode proves that it has its uses.
Of course. And honestly, like, I couldn't see Mach using Formula.
Like, oh, no. God, no.
I couldn't see that.
He'd break his fucking neck.
Yeah,
ironic, because he's a stuntman.
Right.
Especially in this episode. but then we get the scene of Hart lamenting over Chase's death.
Which is cool to see, because, like, he lives up to his namesake, despite the fact that he's one cold bastard sometimes. He gives a shit about his comrades, like, to the hilt.
And we also find out that not only is he sad that Chase is dead, but he has the proto-speed shift car and apparently has since the global freeze.
Yes.
I guess they just took it off him and kept it around.
Yes.
So yeah, and then Brain, seeing his chance, apparently finding a new hanky after his last one got burned.
Yeah, me.
Just slides his way right next to Hart and gives Medic the most smug smile of all time.
Literally, what it is like you just see like Hart's like, oh yeah, this is so tragic what happened. And Hart's like, yeah, if only someone was able to properly reprogram him, this wouldn't have happened. Me. And then Medic's like, oh, the fuck are you saying? And literally, just after, Brain gives this look as if...
Medic is like, it's okay, he wasn't one of the Chosen anyway. And Hart is like, it's not always about logic, this just really hurts.
Yeah, and then Brain just gives Medic this look as if, I suck his dick, Hart's dick, way better than you.
You see a little bit of jizz glistening by the corner of his mouth. Just a little hint way better of jizz. Than you.
Don't make me have to shop
you
this.
You have to
do it! You have to do it!
Just like, yo, move, bitch! Anybody got some water?
So pretty much that was just a contest between freaking
Brain and Medic.
Brain and Medic? Who can suck Hart's dick better?
He pulls up the handkerchief.
Oh my god. This is all gonna come down to who works the balls better. It's not about who destroys
the
that
game. Who can win, Pat?
It's not about who destroys that meddlesome Kamen Rider or who wipes out the most humans. It's about who works the shaft better. It's about who's got a more delicate touch when the tip of their tongue is licking his balls.
So, speaking of nursing, we find out that Kiriko has been secretly nursing Chase back to health.
With a health gun.
By directly injecting Mad Doctor into him through the brake gunner.
Yes. Just, I will shoot you with this gun of health!
Just looks at the Mad Doctor, don't tell anyone.
She uses the health sword
but
on
that's,
him.
Okay, yes, she knows about the rider system. Yes, she knows how the basic idea of the shift cars work. I don't know how familiar she is with the brake gunner, which is Rymu technology to go, I understand you, Mad Doctor, so I'm under my own impression that me shooting him point blank in the chest with your attack is going to work.
This is literally the reason why I said it. I'm like, I swear to God, why is there not a hole through his chest right now?
They did state that Machine Chaser's powers were based on Proto Drive, so they do work the same way.
Also, she's
but just,
him
it's
shift
a
cars
gun!
Before, so.
Yeah!
It is a large logic leap to make, I grant you, but like Kiriko was willing to take the chance, and she
say,
was lucky.
She took her chances going, now if I,
especially
if
as
I shoot you point blank in the chest with this gun...
Especially after she starts doing it, and she's like pulsing it into him, and he starts like screaming in pain.
Oh.
God, I hope this is just the side effect pain.
Oh, I'm so healthy! Oh, thank you, Kiriko.
My insides are outside.
I'm enjoying this so much.
It hurts so good.
Just goodness gracious.
I said that to Chris when we were watching it today, and I go, she is so fucking lucky that she did not, like, put a hole through him, through the floor, through the bed. Like
building,
yeah.
Just like she like takes the gun with Mad Doctor. Because execution, full break, Doctor.
Is this like dead? Oh well,
full
he's dead.
Break.
No.
I love how you went to like a sort of Russian. Full break, Doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah. Now here's my question, because we know that
we need a Slavic rider system.
We know that the shift cars work on whoever you point them at.
Yeah.
What exactly is Mad Doctor doing?
Remember when he used it
because,
himself?
No,
when he used it on himself?
Yeah.
And it fucking, like, he's like, this is gonna hurt like a bitch, but you're gonna fucking be so much better afterwards.
I was gonna say, what is it?
It's surgery without anesthetics.
It's internal surgery.
Just shooting someone at their boo-boos.
It's shooting Metagel.
But that's just it. I was like, how do we know it's not just a fancy defibrillator? And just, your arm looks broken. My heart!
I had a heart attack, but my arm's okay.
Right? Just kind of like, what is Mad Doctor
doing? It's like the way that me and me and Brody said, it's, he goes, Mad Doctor is surgery without anesthetics.
It's,
that's all it is.
Every uncomfortable part of the healing process.
Something
at,
like
all
that.
All at once.
But just kind
of. All at once. Yeah. You get it all out of the way right there, and then you feel fine.
But just.
It's literally ripping off a Band-Aid.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
An extremely painful laser-ridden Band-Aid.
With spikes. Speaking of pointy, explosion-y bad things, the plot of this episode. What? Right? Plot? So, there's a serial bomber giving warnings and blowing up things.
And destroying all of our cereal.
So, naturally it falls to the special police because the bomb squad can't do shit.
We can't do shit.
And because they can't find traces
again,
of the bomb.
Again, being the idiot that he is, he's like, this is the work of steroids!
No, the, he calls it,
steroid news.
Steroidos.
Yeah, steroidos. And
he will never pronounce that
Q's,
right.
Q's this
no,
like,
final episode!
Roidmute, you
Roidmute.
Fucking idiot.
Final episode, I've been working with the Roidmutes the whole time. I am also a shocker trooper!
Right off the end. Yeah. So, So Muck accidentally the plot and gets exploded in the back and then falls off the goddamn Ferris wheel after saving it from being exploded.
Alright, well, a bit too far ahead, though.
We're so glad he did.
I like this episode because it shows a lot of Go's inner struggle because he's very heart, like, he's very torn after getting his ass kicked in the last fight that he had. So,
several times.
Yeah, so, like, he's, like, you can see that he's just, like, working out super hard, and he's like, I'm going to destroy every fucking Roidmute.
I'm starting
ever.
To think...
He doesn't exactly say that, he's just really bitter that he wasn't the one to kill Chase.
That is why I love this one scene where, like, they confront the Roidmute that's been causing all the explosions in the city, and you just see, like, Shinosuke talking, like, and Go's beside him, but you can just see the look on Go's face that he's just pissed off, and he's like, let's just fucking beat the shit out of this
guy. I'm going to go back on an earlier episode from when I said originally, I really think a Roidmute killed their family, and he is keeping that in, and says, what's his sister's name there? Kiriko.
Yeah.
Doesn't know.
Very possible.
And that's why
he
he's
definitely
like,
has some sort of personal trauma.
He looks at Roidmute as if, like, I want to kill every single one of them for what they did to me.
I must eradicate all of them.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really starting to think that a Roidmute in the States killed his parents during the slowdown event.
Maybe.
Or maybe they were killed by Roshuo, and he just blames the Roidmutes.
Fair.
That's awful.
He was in the States.
But yeah, seriously, like, I love...
The Roidmutes
is pretty bad.
America.
No, I love this episode mainly just because of just seeing Go's inner struggle. And,
this was a very Go-oriented episode, in my
this
opinion.
This takes place in a universe in which Bush blamed the Roidmutes for the American nuking.
All I know is that when Go sees Chase again, oh my god, is he gonna go fucking ham.
Especially when he sees him wearing the same belt.
Oh, yeah. also,
belt.
There's another
the
thing where, like, Shinosuke,
that's
like...
That's what I said.
No, I mean the actual one.
That
so,
was also implied.
My bet is literally just, it's the busted mock.
Yeah, the rumor that's going around is that Kiriko steals the broken one and gives it to Chase.
Yeah. And he repairs it somehow.
Mad Doctor, I don't know.
Probably, oh my god, fuck you!
I don't know!
Probably what's gonna happen
is the formula team and they rebuild it.
I saw a screenshot that Rena was working on the mock driver and you see Kiriko saying sorry, so maybe it's like, oh, I've had this, I got this fixed for Go, can you give it to him? And Kiriko will be just be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll give it to Go. Chase, here you go.
And then Rena will be like, lucky for you, I got a spare, pulls out of ass.
Well, yeah, because if we saw in that spy video of, like, them working, you saw Mock Dead Heat and Chase are in the same shot, so that's going to be a thing.
That moment when I realized that the steam, the smoke that comes out is not someone lying on the floor with a fire extinguisher. That's what I thought it was. That's what I thought every time someone did Dead Heat. It was just someone on the floor going...
So, anyways, Mock gets exploded off the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
And Drive spots the kid whose name escapes me watching the Ferris wheel and immediately suspects him. Completely logistical, by the way.
I didn't like that guy at all.
Yeah, he's an asshole, but I'm sure he's involved. We'll find out how next
week. Why do you think I'm involved? Huh? Maybe I just like explosions.
They question him, and he's like, yeah, I just like explosions.
Yeah, I have light speed. I can move at light speed.
It's okay, go ahead. The next one's just got announced. I'll stay here to prove I'm innocent.
Well, maybe I should just move at light speed with those superpowers you seem to think I have.
And bam, Top Gear activates, and Shinosuke figures out that the Roid Mute is using light speed projectiles. Which is pretty cool.
So, basically, the end of his plan is the ending of Superman 1. Where Lex Luthor
and
goes...
And run around the world.
No, where Lex Luthor goes, well, Superman, I've launched 3 semi-nuclear warheads off of this island, and they're headed into 3 completely separate locations. You don't have enough speed to take all 3 of them, and you're going to have to choose who lives and who dies.
Fuck you, time formula! Clock up!
I stopped your missiles. Well, fuck. Well, fuck.
So, Formula, I gotta say, like, his design, like, it's still half and half. Like, I like the helmet, it's really grown on me, like, the helmet's fucking awesome. But, as for what Formula can do, holy fuck! Like, it is in the, like, the tier for, like, clock up for Kabuto.
Here's the thing, if you compare footage, when Kabuto clocks up, people move very, very slow. When Type Formula is running around, they're completely stopped.
Yeah.
I think Formula might be faster than Kabuto, without the Hyper Sector, though.
The only problem with that theory is Kabuto has, like, full control of what he's doing within that sped-up bit.
That's true.
Meanwhile, Type Formula is running and not really able to accurately adjust.
I don't know. He maneuvers through the crowds pretty effectively.
Fair, but... You know.
Yeah, but also he runs out of steam.
Yeah.
Well, he's only had it for like a week.
Yeah. So it breaks down. It breaks
that's
down.
That's not subject to his weariness. That's the subject to the suit.
Well, we don't.
Well, think about it. Like, a Formula One racer can only go like 50 laps without having to go into fucking.
By the end of the show, he'll probably have mastered it better.
Well, there's nothing to master.
No,
if it's
Chris,
in the suit, it might be overheating.
Chris.
It's like a car.
Yeah.
If you work it too hard, it overheats.
It's a Formula One racer. They can only do like 50, maybe 75 laps before it has to go in the pit stop to get repaired.
Yeah.
And speaking of pit stop, we get introduced this week to
the pit crew!
Yeah. So we get
Mantan, which is a fuel tank. Jackie, which is a jack.
And Sparner!
Which is a wrench.
Or
a spanner,
which
it should be called.
Which is the thing.
I love Sparner. Sparner's amazing. Yeah, Spana. So, what's really cool is that, like, the Type Formula, it's not just a suit. Like, it actually has an engine in it.
Which is where the powers come from.
Yeah,
like, tight speed or tight, like, dead heat. But with, an engine to boost it. Like a booster.
I wonder what type of engine that Type Formula has.
Well, then why don't you go back to the episode and just fucking look at it.
Take a picture of the engine that is being repaired and show it to some car experts.
No, I know what it looks like.
Okay, sure. Or just look, take a shot of the figure even. I don't know.
But, yeah, Formula's really, really badass. I like it.
So
there's nothing about him I don't like.
So after identifying the Roid Mute's powers, Formula takes him on, and he fires off 4 missiles at 4 different locations, and Type Formula chases down and destroys 3 out of them before he finally starts to go, oh, the G-forces are wearing me down. So he collapses, and out comes the pit crew, and they tune him up real good, and he manages to knock out the 4th missile.
The first missile was easy as fuck, because he didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
He literally just caught it off the launch, and like, hi, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss a football on your face, and...
And meanwhile, while Drive is chasing the missiles around, the Roid Mute, whose name is not actually given, manages to not only overpower Mach, but completely destroy his suit and break the belt. Pretty noticeably.
Which is why, hence, this week's episode is called Go for Broke.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good establishing thing that they're gonna give it to Rena. Rena's gonna be like, oh, I can fix this, no problem, give me a couple episodes, you know? And then she's like, I fixed it, by the way, I examined the entire thing, and now I can make one. Now that guy over there could become a Kamen Rider, you know? The guy who Was Ruts a bad guy? Oh, this is probably a terrible
scene. No, yeah, that's a possibility, but like I said before, it's probably that, like, Kiriko's there when Rina fixes it, and then she's like, oh, can you give this to Go for me? And she'll be like, sure.
No.
Go's give it to Chip. That's possible.
But they also need to make a bike for him.
They have Chaser's bike.
No, his fucking
signal bike.
Oh, okay.
All we know for sure is, according to the episode summaries, Kiriko steals the damaged one for Chase. Aside from that, we don't have details.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Harley might be the one who repairs it. We don't know.
That's possible.
Because Harley's the one that made it.
I'm just speaking on what's been posted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing theory crafting, which, you know, usually ends up either being right or terribly wrong.
Anyways, so the mock driver's broken, and Drive steps in to save him and finish off the right
move.
And we see this really nice shot of Go completely pissed off.
Yep.
This does not help his losing streak.
No,
I know.
Well,
his belt's broken. So
you have to remember,
transform.
When he came in, he was giving Shinosuke hints to help him along. He was stringing him along for his ride.
Mach was the perfected...
has moved beyond.
Yeah.
And now Go's like, fuck, I'm good, but I've stood still.
Yeah.
And he's gotten past me.
Drive was supposed to be the prototype to Mach. Mach was supposed to be the improved model. However, Drive has consistently started.
If Mach wasn't such a fucking shit disturber, he may have actually surpassed goddamn.
That's just it. Go relies. Yes, Go is skilled as a fighter. He relies way too much on his powers. Shinosuke is good.
Yeah.
He's a cop.
Yeah. No, like, seriously.
So his capability. Like any rider system. Coda.
Yeah.
Kicking legendary amounts of ass in orange at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Because it's the rider's ability plus their powers.
Yeah.
So, just he's...
If Mach, if Go, wasn't a shit disturber and kept his goddamn cool and kept improving upon himself instead of relying on his belt, he would...
That's
be
just
on
it.
Par with
he feels like he can do as he pleases because it is a superior system.
Yeah,
yeah. Which is why now he's hardcore training.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what his super form is.
Anyways, so Formula steps in to save the day, and here's where something that really bugged me happened. The strongest attack that Drive can produce did not destroy the core this episode. The core sneaks away, and Brain absorbs it with his iPad.
Now, here's the thing about that. I think. It may have been his strongest attack, but he didn't put type speed and type wild into the thing. He put the crew in it.
That's true.
So it might not have been the most powerful attack. It was just enough to destroy the body.
If the toy showed anything, you can fucking put like 30 shift cars in there.
Not all at once.
Also, are we just kind of forget the fact that he fired that thing off several times beforehand as well?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
you're
for
saying
all
the
we
power
know, he
goes
was
down.
Running out of juice, and that was what was left.
Fair. That's a fair theory.
Or if I recall correctly, in past experiences, there have been instances where they've had to kill the Roy Mute and then destroy the core.
Yeah, but that was working with weaker attacks, though.
That's like episode 2 shit. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, I'm sure more stuff will happen with that guy next week. And the episode ends with Chase awakening and almost strangling Kiriko.
No, he just grabs her arm.
Are you the one who saved me?
Yeah. He just said, are you the one who saved me?
Yeah, like, but he still sounds like, angry.
He's freaking the fuck out, man. You've been shooting him with a gun.
Yeah.
You've been shooting him in the chest with a gun.
It's a healing gun.
That doesn't matter.
Also, just a quick mention. We also saw some more scans about like stuff that might happen in future episodes of Drive, and apparently Shinosuke reveals himself as the Kamen Rider to the public.
He pulls an Iron Man. I didn't want to bring that up, but okay.
As I fucking expected from episode 1,
Yeah. Of
course the Special Crimes Unit joins the pit, like the pit crew,
yeah.
So I'm like, durr!
Oh god, Q's gonna fanboy. Oh god, Gen's gonna fanboy!
No, Gen's just gonna be like,
I knew it!
I knew it!
Parker, give me pictures of Spider-Man!
Chief's just gonna be like, passport!
Anyway,
Shinosuke's mini cars, how did I never make the connection?
Let's move on to some ninja fighting shit!
Yay!
Dolly Jump! Shuriken Sentai!
Neo Ninja!
episode starts with one of the ceiling shurikens doing a weird little shimmy and jumping into the satellite it transforms with.
That was weird but cool at the same time.
So we have this week's monster of the week.
It's a satellite monster.
Yeah, and he's giving children balloons.
Being nice. Tin foil balloons. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't know. We should have probably seen an issue with this. It's like handing candy out of a white van.
Exactly.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
I have been like, what the? What do you mean? What do you mean? What you're doing is all right. I don't care. Putting aside the fact that you're a monster, you are clearly eyeing these children.
That's just it. Just no one's paid any attention to the idea that this Roy Mutant or Roy
Mutant yokai.
This yokai is. Different, nicer, just being pleasant to the children, and then the ninjas call him out on it, and he just
verbatim, Tumblr post.
Verbatim, that's racist.
Yeah, that's racist.
And I was just kind of like, I'm pretty sure that's a trope that's happened here and there in Toku, just that one offbeat villain that they kind of, yeah, just that very, I don't know, and the monster going, that's racist.
That's racist!
And then I just saw that, and I was just kind of like,
"Oh good,
we're just call him racist."
Oh good, we're doing this trope this week.
Yeah, I was like, "Sure, that trope never doesn't throw me off."
I wasn't expecting the lengthy Tumblr post,
right?
So this week, being a Kasumi-focused episode, we learned that she's at the same time as being a ninja,
okay,
studying to be a scientist.
Kasumi-focused is kind of a strong statement.
If anyone is at focus this episode, it's her.
It's more a Yakumo episode where he's worried about Kasumi.
No, it's more like he's enabling her character development kind of thing.
But she's mostly just
She's already got... She doesn't need development. She's already gone through her character growth off-screen.
And he's
just showing it to us.
Spoilers, yeah. It's Dear Princess Celestia. I didn't learn anything! I was right all along!
So, we find out that because she wants to be a scientist because she believes Takaharu's story about Ishitaka being in contact with aliens 30 times.
Hey, I believe it.
Which is true.
Which turns out to be partially true. And we see more... Like, I don't know if it's on purpose, but we see more and more of Takaharu being a contemptible ass. They're in the middle of the dojo and Taka's like, yeah, I feel like getting some food. Hey, Nagi! Drags him by the fucking ear! Jesus!
I hate Takaharu so much.
I literally have nothing to say until the end of the episode when I actually paid attention.
So, and then... Yeah,
the whole thing that kind of threw me off about the setup for our... A story here was just kind of, it's gotta be so hard to be able to do two things at once. You can't be a ninja and a doctor, a scientist at the same time.
Or rather, studying at university to be a scientist.
You need to do one thing at your very best, sort of idea, coming from the guy who's doing two things at once.
I was like, yeah, kind of a hypocrite.
But they're related. Only
by coincidence.
I know, right?
But then I'm reminded of a great quote by one Ron Swanson. Don't half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Yes. But yeah, I was just kind of like...
But then she comes along and she's like, no, I super totally can. Like, watch me. I'm doing it right now. So let's beat the shit out of this monster.
So you can do both. Yeah, yes. No, that's what I was doing.
Yes, I can.
But the funny part about that scene is, she was talking about how being a scientist was her dream, and Yakumo, just for some reason, decides to immediately redirect that question to Fuka.
Decides to immediately put his own project onto her.
Yeah. She's like, do you have a dream? And she says whatever the fuck, and talks about Takaharu wanting to be last ninja, and then Yakumo says something that resonated. Yakumo, the wizard... wanted to play soccer. I'm like, I feel like we've seen this character before.
Harcho!
How much do you want to bet that he's just not saying the word Quidditch, because Muggles can't know what Quidditch is?
Or maybe he's actually saying it, and the magic is preventing it from being translated properly.
Potter magic doesn't work that way.
I don't fucking know.
However.
What's Kininger's name?
Nagi.
Nagi, I keep forgetting that. Here's my problem with our wacky cast of characters. as it stands after 5 episodes, no matter how much I want to like Nagi, I have no form of attachment to him. They haven't given it to us yet.
Yeah.
I do like Kininger.
Yeah.
As his superhero person, I like him. I like Dumpmaru. I like the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I fucking love Kasumi.
Yeah.
She is probably my favorite character so far.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely gonna get some points after this episode.
Lately, I've grown attached to Fuka, so...
And I don't... Here. I can't fathom why.
I
still...
can! It's Lane!
I was about to say, she still hasn't done jack shit.
Let me briefly explain, Lane. Long story short. Episode 1, like, you see, like, they're like, oh, yeah, the father's like, oh, yeah, you guys are the ninjas, and she's like, really? Like... Why is it us? Why do we have to? So
because
that's
you're the
like
children
me.
Of the fucking
if
famous ninja!
If someone told me that I was going to be part of a team that was destined to save the world, I would be very reluctant against it. I'd be like, I'm not sure if I'm ready for that or want to do that. And
no,
then,
but the difference is they had been training.
Yeah, but she...
They were already good at it.
I know, but... Anyway, so I can relate to her just because... And she's fucking adorable as all.
She has to be adorable because she's got nothing else yet.
Okay, yeah. But I have...
Even her sword is useless. We've been over this.
I see great potential.
You'll like next episode.
She's never long
oh,
no, wait, no, you won't. That's next week's the crossover.
Yeah, next week's the crossover.
We get 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
She is to Herp Derp as our ninja is to douchebaggery.
Also, Wanmaru is adorable as fucking shit.
There's the thing. Everyone's had their episode now except for her and... Oh no, next week's the crossover. No character development for her.
But that's my thing. Like, it's an interesting way that they went about this, because, like I said, this wasn't really a Kasumi episode. Like, it was focused on... Like, she was a focus. She was a primary focus, but it was basically just Yakumo brooding over nothing, trying to figure out a problem that wasn't there.
Because she's already... She doesn't need to
like,
grow as a person.
Developed.
Yeah, this is a...
She's the fully developed character. We just didn't see the development. So now we're using him to bring it out.
Yeah.
And reveal
things. This is a Kasumi episode, but it's not about her development. It's about establishing her character.
As the competent one.
Exactly.
As the competent.
Yes.
My God, the Pink Ranger is the most competent one in this group.
I've been saying this for weeks. She's
ever since the Yakumo episode.
Right? She's the one who's just been, like, going up to people and being all like, so, you got a problem, huh? Well, guess what? The problem's right here, in you. And you can
points
fix it.
Points at me.
And you gotta fix it. You go fix
it. For you.
You can do it.
Fuck, man. I was trying to think back on it. I can't remember the last time we've had a Pink Ranger this competent.
It sure as
nope.
fuck wasn't Hoka. Kagura.
Wasn't Gokaiger.
Maju Ranger. Hoka. Hoka was a ditz, but she could do anything. She got things done.
Yeah.
She got shit.
I wouldn't call her anywhere near Kasumi's level, though.
Spoilers, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Samurai, whatever Samurai was.
Shinkenger.
Mako?
No, she was not confident. She wasn't even a good cook.
Yeah, she couldn't cook for shit.
Okay.
Fucking what's her name from Ghost Sages?
I guess
she was annoying.
Gokaiger, she can cook.
Monkey ears?
Yeah. Hey, Gokaiger, she could cook.
Yes, monkey ears.
Ahim's character did not require competence. Let's put it that way.
All I know
she
is
was
I
a
loved
space
it when she
princess.
Was very polite. We're gonna beat the shit out of you now.
Here's the thing about Ahim, though. She never had any failings due to lack of competence.
Oh, Kyoryu Pink.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
very confident.
I fucking love. She was like, college student, she's kind of just like spur-of-the-moment type person, but boy was she a badass motherfucker.
Plus, if you think about how the Kyoryugers got their powers, she beat the shit out of a Triceratops.
She did.
Yeah.
And she fell in love with the Red Ranger just because the Purple Ranger kind of sparked the thought into
yeah,
her.
Yeah, we've been over that.
Anyways.
So... Because the kind monster is still suspicious, they take shifts watching him, and Kasumi disguises herself as a goddamn mailbox in one shot.
Oh, yeah, I was like,
oh,
she's inside the mailbox!
No, she is
the
mailbox!
She is the mailbox! Your ninja skills are quite good.
I would have just laughed if, like, she transformed back and burps out some letters.
They do a really good job, like, special effects on those, where you just see, like, they just...
drop the green screen.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, usually that's Pink's trick, and then Fuka does that this week.
Every time they do that, it, like, it's so good, I'm always just kind of like, bah!
I know, right?
You were there! Like it wasn't any, okay, like, well, you see, like, okay, wavy lines, like, yeah, you can tell something's hiding there.
As far as we've seen, Takaharu's very, like, he's trained to use a sword very well. Ao Ninja's really good for, like, the jutsus, so the very spells. Nagi, I haven't really seen anything yet. I guess he's, like, a good
fighter.
He's
strong and resistant.
He's good using the claw, like, the...
And he can take a hit, that's his thing.
Yeah, he can take some hits.
He's got a substitution jutsu.
Fuka, we haven't seen anything yet. And Kasumi is good at hiding, and, like, disguising herself. So,
and
they all have...
And raining death
so
upon
they
us.
All know, like, the basic ninja shit. It's just that each of them is unique in a special... like,
Nagi and Fuka, we'll find out eventually.
Never.
We'll find out what Star Ranger's abilities are.
I gotta be honest, I'm getting less excited about Star Ranger after seeing who it is.
Yeah.
He looks like a grandpa goon. I didn't care if it was the grandpa or not. He just looks so out of place.
He does, kinda.
He looks like he's from an older Sentai.
He,
like,
better be hilarious.
Right? I'm just kind of like...
Or a badass.
Or that.
I don't care.
Bring Akira back, please!
You're asking a gentleman who henshins with a toy cheeseburger to be badass. That's a tall order.
It's just better totally supersize me being it. Nitpicky, but just... and judging a book by its cover, I'm just not excited.
I hope Takaharu or Nagi just Ranger like...
Super four.
No,
double big.
I hope Takaharu or Nagi questions that. They're like... Why a cheeseburger? And he'll just be like, why the fuck not a cheeseburger?
Takaharu will be totally on board with it.
Yep.
Yakumo will question.
So we're the Odin, and you're the cheeseburger! And his head just turns into a cheeseburger, and he's just like, I guess so.
Please give us a shot of cheeseburger head star ninja.
Yeah, let's just have the Odin ninjas again. That was great.
Anyways, so the evil plan gets revealed. All the balloons he was giving the children were receivers for his evil holographic broadcast of, like, six giant Kiba Oni Gengetsus.
Which I don't understand at all!
Which start, like, shooting lightning because science, magic,
okay,
whatever.
Okay. I understand why. What better way to invoke fear into a whole city of people than making five giant-ass fucking monsters pretending looking around... parading around the city causing
destruction. Here's the problem with that. You can't do anything to them because they're holograms.
Yet.
Anytime you try and do something to them, it doesn't work. Drat, we cannot interact with them on a physical plane of existence. And yet whatever attacks they are doing, despite them being illusions, are actual attacks.
Are actually destroying buildings.
And I just go, nonsense. That's not how that works.
Yokai magic.
No, wait. Their bodies are holograms. There's like two little floating orbs that
in
are
like the heads
lasers.
That are shooting the lightning.
Yeah,
inside the
hologram.
I make a quick
if you must apply logic to it, that would be what the answer would be.
I make a quick reference to a non-canon Star Wars story where Luke Skywalker fought a physical hologram of Darth Maul, and he actually was able to fight him and attack him and stuff. So. Anyways.
So the robot, or the satellite monster's plan happens, and he eventually launches his marionette attack on the Otomo-nin, and Shinobi Maru does the fucking robot dance, because marionette. So how are they gonna stop this? By boarding a fucking kite made of a leaf and the wood jutsu emblem. Which makes goddamn fighter plane noises!
Right?
I like that. I think that's... You know what? No! They're the ninjas who don't hide, so they want to be seen and be all flashy. Why the fuck not make plane noises when you fly in your little kite?
I just love how the kite is, like, perfectly vertical and flying directly forward.
Again, they're another Sentai who has a gimmick, and they fucking abuse the hell out of it, and
just
I love
add,
it.
Just add this to it. Try to bomb the harbor.
Oh, that's terrible.
Takaharu accidentally uncovers the plot of the evil balloons... And pops one while trying to shoot the hologram.
With this giant, with this awesome cool like wooden remote control.
No. Takaharu is shooting with a bow.
Yeah, yeah.
So he pops one of the balloons and everyone's like, oh shit, these balloons were receivers. And Kasumi's like, yeah, I figured this shit out ages ago. That's why I was making this ting. So she boards a kite and starts beeping Morse code at Ungaikyo, that's the name of the monster. and defeats them with the power of Morse code and breaks all the balloons and the illusions.
With the power of Morse code.
Hashtag Independence Day.
Which, by the way, I don't think it was actually Morse code. She was just tapping a whole shitload of times.
Oh, it probably was just random whatevers, but she was using a mobile, like an antenna telegraph machine to, like, beep signals into him and interrupt his broadcast.
If this keeps up, oh god, boom.
So Takaharu, still airborne, activates Palanmaru and goes all Space Jam, using his giant stretchy hand to literally flatten the monster.
I loved, since it's just kind of a means to segue forward, I like that when they discover UFOmaru, or the summoning...
The shuriken.
Yes. And they use it, and they try and summon him, and it doesn't work
right away.
Because he's coming from motherfucking space.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
But they didn't know that.
They had no
exactly.
idea.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just kind of like, what? And then when they get into space...
He's there.
Yeah. They're going, oh, he's flying the hell out of here. We need to chase him. We're going into space. We won't be able to survive in space. Here's UFOmaru. Oh, he was coming for us. Oh, he's from space!
Is he now?
No, he is space!
Right? He's the best at space. Yes.
But before that happens, there was this awesome scene where they actually finish off the monster's normal form by using all five of their Fury Slashes at once, and that was amazing.
No, that was flashy. I like
yeah.
it. I love those CG attack scenes.
And then the guy shows up on the street, he's like, duel me!
Yeah, Gabi shows up looking for round two.
Oh my
and then
goodness.
He's like, duel me! Wait, I need to fight the big monster that motherfucker just fucking made. You wait here, I'll be right back!
I don't give a fuck, fight me! We'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be right back!
Drat, well, I suppose I don't have a choice.
And then they go and they go and fight, and then they go into space, and then they blow up the thing for Forze, and everyone dies.
By the way, UFOmaru shows up, and we see his robot form for a second, and they immediately do Shurikenjin UFO.
Which I like more than I thought I would. When I first saw the scan, I was like, I don't know. And then I watched it do a thing,
and I'm like,
and I was
it fits
like,
in
no,
the seat,
that's
and it's
awesome.
So cool looking!
And
I like it.
I am liking it a lot more than I initially did. I still prefer Palanmaru.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? I think I like them both just the same, which is quite a bit.
Yeah. I just laughed at how Shurikenjin UFO, like, swipes the gun at him for the first bit of the fight.
Another very important piece of information we now know is Grandpa based the Zords off of UFOmaru.
Yeah.
Which
means that we have a Sentai featuring ninjas wielding alien technology.
Yes.
That's
amazing.
Correct.
If that's not a reference to Alien Rangers, I don't know what is.
But I thought that was so cool, and I was like,
at first
I was like, that's a little too convenient, and then I tried to think of, you know, suppose he genuinely created a bond with UFOmaru, and they just kind of crossed beams on their whole how they interact with one another.
Which means that Ishitaka did speak to aliens 30 times.
I was going
to
say, no one ever said 30 separate instances of aliens. It was
just the same one.
Connected with alien 30 times. And I was like, that's just really cool, though, that just... Well, that's kind of silly and a bit of a lame excuse, but I guess that's the only way that makes sense, especially when you fought the yokai originally using you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I saw Kasumi, he's like, oh, I love space so much, I think it's fascinating. I'm like, so then that's how you become Horror Girl.
Yeah. So, like,
it's in space dimension,
the
actually.
The fight in space on the moon is fucking awesome. Like, it was space. Really good. I found that, like, their movements were very space. Slow but precise. Like, his movements when they were fighting, because they're fighting in space, right?
Yeah.
I thought going to the moon for a fight was a cool change of pace.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for a ninja
moon,
show.
To the moon, though. But no, but everyone was fighting. Like, we were watching the fight, and then. What did Raven say?
Desmond fucking shows up.
Crush the rabbit.
Crush the rabbit hutch in there.
Crush the rabbit
hutch. For
the love
of God. Crush it, kill them all. Also, crush Rita's palace.
Yo, yeah, Rita's
palace.
I was like,
Power Rangers!
I'm like, there's no atmosphere on the moon! My whole life is a lie! There's no atmosphere on the moon? My whole life is a lie!
Yes. God, so, that premise is silly. It's a space dumpster! What the fuck is a space dumpster?
It's a normal dumpster, just in space.
Why do we have space dumpsters?
To pick up space comets!
To pick up space trash like Rita.
Yeah, you pick up comets in space. You put them in your space dumpster.
Why does Space Australia exist?
We don't have proof that
space
it does
New Zealand.
Yet.
Boy, space horse.
Anyways, so they defeat the monster and they return home, and Taka's like, you know, I think I'm forgetting something. Eh, fuck it. Immediate pan to Gabi, standing exactly where they left
Fucker's
him.
Fucker's late!
He's late! I'm gonna sit down!
Fucking guy.
How dare he? It'll be hilarious if they go back to the area again, like, in a later
I'm
episode.
Giving
he's just still there, like,
minutes.
Like, I've been waiting for you! And
yeah,
he's like,
you watch 2 weeks later,
here?
He's still there.
Like, are you for realsies, bro?
Just, oh shit, I'm so
sorry. No. In a later episode, he's just like walking around, like he's like has groceries, and he's like, "You, I've been waiting for so long." What?
Oh shit! Oh,
what are you doing here? I guess I'll just henshin now.
I've always been here.
It's like always episode waiting. 30. He just shows up again. I've been waiting on that string for 30 weeks.
Anyways. So that's the episode, and next week we get the Spring Break Gatai special, Drive
yes.
Ending Ninja, just like we had Gaiman Tokyo Jr. last year. Okay. An hour-long special.
I like it.
I don't mind these.
I'm okay with it.
Hey, the guy in Tokyo Jr. one was pretty cool.
The guy in Tokyo Jr. one was promo for the Heisei Showa Tyson movie, and this one is promo for the Kamen Rider Sango movie. So, that'll be fun.
Featured topic.
And moving on to our future topic of the week is the Kyoryuger versus Tokyuger movie. My God.
I liked it.
I came into this movie really late.
Fun
so
bubbling to the brim with stupid. My
first
goodness,
off,
this movie the awful.
First off, I just have to get this out of the way because I know people bug me about arguing about this, but Daigo's hair is horrible.
I like it. I like it a lot.
The way he threw his hair around in his own TV show was part of his
Listen,
the charm
Ichi,
of his character.
If you've got a crush on someone for the way that they flick their hair around with their luscious locks, then that's your prerogative. That doesn't.
I know.
Out.
I'm
that
not the only one
anything
who
away
thinks
from the performance,
so.
The character, or the writing. So
I'm not arguing about
valid.
His performance. I just think that the way his hairstyle was in the show accentuated the character's
Ichi,
natural flair.
Playing the thing that he was currently on.
Episodes.
On at the time.
He's on a J-drama, so he had to cut his hair for it.
Anyways.
You'll
so,
always have your memories.
We'll always have the episodes.
And the tissues.
Memories.
So the movie starts with fucking the Zorima show up in a random quarry and the Tokyuger try and fight them, but it's no good, because powers don't work on enemies of a different series for some reason. So the Kyoryuger show up and shoot
the
shit.
You weren't brave enough!
Yeah. There's a very strong bravery x imagination theme in this movie, as you'll no doubt hear from the description. So, the Kyoryugers beat up the Zorima, and Daigo alone boards the Rainbow Line to talk with them, and he pretty much says, so yeah, we've been fighting this enemy that was hinted at the end of our own show. The guy who created Deboss. Dubious, I forget the fucking name though. But whatever. And so he basically goes, yeah, you guys look like you're having a nice fun train ride. Y'all should just keep doing that and stay out of our business, because your weapons clearly don't work on these guys. So he says this while eating the box lunch wagon serves him. So he pretty much says, you guys suck, stay out of this. Have fun on your train ride. Thanks for the food. And jumps the fuck out the train.
Because nice guy.
I'm like, Daigo! He was king before the show started.
I kind of agree with him. If your weapons aren't going to work, you're going to get in the way. Don't get in the way.
And he also commented on the fact that they seem like children.
But he also was assessing them based on, like, 15 seconds of them fighting.
Like, yeah, he's just
fighting
like, wow,
enemies they're not used to.
He's like,
you.
Yeah, wow, you guys are like children. We are children.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It's not a lie.
So, and we see...
Were they children at that point?
They were always children.
But I thought they were they're adults now.
No, like... No, Returns takes place 10 years later.
Oh.
Returns is the one where they're grown up. This movie takes place near the end
of
the series.
Yeah, because this movie came out...
They have Tokyo Rainbow, but they haven't killed the Shadowline yet.
Yeah, I got it.
So, 40s-ish.
Can I just say...
No.
God, I didn't like the... Just... I did not notice that Kyoru Green and Tokyo Green were, like, or Tokyo Yango were totally different, two different shades.
Oh, yeah.
I never realized that, like, in Sentai, they've used different shades of green for the
green. Oh, yeah, all the time.
In RPM, he's, like, a fucking, like, super dark green.
Like, I know, they change blue to light blue if it's a girl, like, obviously, but, yeah, I never noticed
anything. See, Magi Ranger.
The shade change is weird.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
Ranger.
Yeah, I don't like too. I don't like Yongo's green color. Ugh.
A Keeper Ranger.
Oh yeah. Not really that light blue. She's
no, exact. That's my point.
Oh yeah.
A
yeah.
blue that they didn't bother changing.
Yeah.
Godless. It's non-canon.
Yeah. It's unofficial.
Sorry.
Despite being totally official.
That's the word I wanted.
So. The fuck. So they're like, yeah, we should totally go help those dudes anyways. Fuck what they think.
And that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good thing they did that.
So, the Shadow Line teams up with this weird salamander monster, Salamaz.
I liked him.
He was interesting.
He, like, flattered,
especially
like...
Especially later.
Yeah, he, like, flattered fucking... Oh, God, yeah. No, I love when he, like, flatters that he's just like... Mwah, like, kisses his hand or whatever like that. And
kisses his cape.
Right, kisses his cape, and Zed's just like, the fuck are you doing?
Gus,
go away.
You have no Kira Kira. Get the fuck out.
Gus, be gone.
So, we then see fucking Uchi at a train station trying to reunite with the others.
What?
And then the Shadow
like
Line, the Shadow Line comes in and he like hops over the black line.
Yeah, he's just like, it's like,
of
oh,
course,
step behind the
life
black
is very important.
Yeah, step behind the black line if you value your life. Oh, yeah, life's important.
But of course,
yeah,
life is very important.
So, we see the Clock Shadow, who is like the most delightful, happy, go lucky, evil monster.
Oh,
that exchange was
awesome. I loved him.
I love how he referred to himself as Oni-chan.
I love that though, just the good afternoon. Good afternoon. That was a very good afternoon, everyone.
Alright, girls, let's get fucking pumped up!
And then we're all getting real psyched up here. We're gonna beat you guys.
What? Kids show! Kids show!
We're getting happy to kill you.
Okay. No, I can just expect the Clock Shadow to just look over at the screen. Can you guys say, beat the shit out of the enemy?
The weapons of
very
one
good.
Sentai team do not correlate with the enemies from the other team.
So Uchi gets his ass kicked until Akira shows up.
Hey, well,
which Akira proceeds to do the
Akira
super
things.
Awesome good thing.
Oh, yeah.
That
no.
is throwing his breaker.
No, not only throwing it, instead of throwing it off to the side like he usually does, he straight up throws it at one of the crows and
well,
hits it.
Yeah, he just... throws it, gets rid of it, and goes to using his good old ham sandwiches.
So Uchi picks up the Yudo Breaker.
And then still proceeds to use his own goddamn weapon!
But the idea was to combine, use both.
But it doesn't do anything! Him picking up the breaker and using it to combat the crows using the style in which he would in the first place was a very creative idea. Then he proceeds to also pull out the weapon we just established doesn't work on them.
I think they were supposed to highlight that when you wield both, it works. I don't know.
Imagination!
Trust me, this is not as stupid as what they do later.
No. And that's the only thing that I just can't come to terms with because it's such a glaring flaw that for a movie that is a crossover and they tried to be as two separate entities coming together they still relied way too much on the idea that if anything is confusing, throw imagination at it.
Yeah.
Because Tokuger.
Because if this is mostly a Tokuger movie.
It won't make sense, but they'd still do it.
Because the Tokugers are the feature of this movie.
Tokuger. The ninjas, you don't have enough imagination. Well, you guys aren't flashy enough.
Yeah, it's like, you have your mentality.
Yeah.
And then they get fucking...
Speaking of ninjas.
Oh, I imagine my mentality. And they
you guys don't have enough
mentality.
Imagination. You need more imagination, guys. Well, imagine me fucking you. Or
yeah.
Get out of here. Get out of
no,
here.
No, no, no. Like, it
what's the matter with you?
It would be the... For the ninja and Tokuja thing, it would be like, you don't have enough imagination. Well, you don't have mentality. I imagine my mentality.
Shit!
Anyway, so the Clock Shadow, he does his
sings
little,
this
like,
song.
Yeah, so it's just like, tick-a-tock, tick-a-tock.
It's
adorable.
And Akira immediately knows what it is, but
Uchi's like, oh, what?
And of course, at the same time, the other Tokugers show up, and they get sang the song, but for the longest time, we have no idea what this is doing. And then the Clock Shadow kind of fucks off. And that's when he encounters the cameo by the ninjas,
yep.
Who introduce himself in a drawn-out and annoying fashion, much more than in the actual show. And then they proceed to beat the shit out of a storm of crows and...
murder
of crows. They murder the murder.
The murder of crows.
And then the Clock Shadow just fucks off.
I think, having watched the ninja receiving the final product, for what is a teaser to that... That was very sloppily advertised.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. All these cameos of the next series are usually that...
Lousy?
Yeah.
No.
I was going to say, that's not a fair enough representation of what Ninja ended up being.
The Tokugers first showed up and just kind of, hey, look, we can change our colors.
No,
it was awful.
I will say
this. And then
this,
they actually ran like a conjunction train attack.
I will say this. Gokaiger had the best preview cameo because later on in their actual show, they did that event. Like, they went back in time and, like, Guy wasn't able to go with them, and they did their cameo. They actually did their
cameo. I remember that.
That was amazing.
They worked the cameo from the movie that...
Into the series.
Before the series, they worked that moment into the series via time travel. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Why don't more series do that?
Gokaiger is best Sentai, hands down.
Because...
Oh, yeah.
Kaizoku Sentai Decade...
Yeah.
...is the only something capable of doing that.
Yep. Well, that was great.
So...
Or Time Ranger.
So
they go on the Rainbow Line, Dai goes with them.
They escape back to the Build Russia, and that's when we find out what that song did.
Yeah.
It turned the Tokugers back into their child forms and made Uchisemimaru a baby.
And it was so cute, and Kira's just like, well, I guess...
And he gets an actual, like, snuggy backpack, like, front pack to hold him in.
I love it.
I had my chance to be careful, Rick. I'm a father now.
Oh, God. Did we establish that, like, when they were on the Rainbow Line? Oh, yeah, that was, like, way before.
Yeah, so the Tokugers are still ready to fight, but the Kyoryugers are all like, yeah, you're children, you probably shouldn't do anything. And the Tokugers straight up say, fuck you, and Henshin as children.
Can I just say, this entire fight with them as, like, children as the Tokugers was great.
Adorable.
Like, it was adorable, it was great.
It was
hilarious. They kicked a lot of ass. Like,
there was not enough of it, I think.
Like, Hikari was still able to fucking flip around and do awesome shit with his sword and everything. Freaking Tokati was Tokati. Kagura was still being Kagura. Woo.
What I thought was odd was the fact that Tokati and Kagura teamed up. I was kind of hoping it would be Tokati and Mio, because, you know, the ship.
Yeah, but Tokati and Kagura are kind of the dumbasses, so.
True. But then they're all the dumbasses except for Hikari. Mio, not as much.
Yeah. But Mio and Hikari have the...
Oh, yeah, speaking of Mio, she channels Kagura and uses her imagination to summon Mikey.
God, that was... Mikey, don't go crazy! Mikey, go crazy! I was like, that was so cute!
She straight up summons the Pillsbury Doughboy on their asses.
I wish Takati, though, would have imagined the... like
Rio
brother,
Knight?
Rio Knight, that would have been awesome!
Yeah!
That would have been so cool!
That would have been great!
Oh,
they
should have stopped.
Can Rio Knight get his own show?
No!
Or a figure?
No!
Give him a figure. So, yeah, but I loved that, like, I'm glad it wasn't just a quick, like, henshin sequence, and then, like, they just did, like, what Justin did. They did, like, the Blue Turbo Ranger.
Oh, were they inflated?
No, it was actually fucking child suit actors, for as far as we know.
They've done that before.
In the suits. Yeah, I know.
They did it with Cyan when he got fucking skinny.
No, no, we were talking about fighting in the child form suit.
Oh, you're talking about, like, fucking, like,
The first Deno movie, there was the Chibi Deno sword form hat was a
and
thing.
And also, don't Kiba. Forget, Chibi Kiba.
In Decade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kiba. Yeah. No. He grew into an adult body.
He grew an adult body.
He became Kiva, both did.
Yeah.
Did they? No. Kiva was a kid.
No, Kiva was a kid, but he transformed into an adult. He was a tiny thing.
I remember it because I just fucking watched it. He literally still was a kid in Decade. Like, he was a tiny version of Kiva.
I don't remember that, but
I'll show you later.
Okay. Whatever.
Anyways.
So, fights happen, and they're like, yeah, I guess you're right, we should team up Bravery and Imagination. So, at that point, they exchange their henshin gimmicks.
Yeah.
The Tokyugers take the Judenshi and load them into their fucking Tokyu Blasters.
And somehow the Diesel Resha goes into the fucking Gamma Revolver.
They load Reshas into the Gamma Recalibur somehow!
Yeah.
Those don't fit in there!
Yeah. But they do, because we have these stupid new movie pill-sized versions. I was just kind of like, all you did was sloppily tack the Dino Charger the Judenshi, onto the fucking rail system of your gun.
Like, it just sits there. If they turned it, it would fall out.
Exactly. But the other alternative was, we're going to make these Russia
tiny little Russia
fucking little cylinders, and you're just gonna shoop them in there, and I go, no!
That doesn't do that!
Yeah, exactly. I saw the fucking Diesel Russia go into the Goblin Revolver, and I was like, absolutely
not even the revolver, just the caliber!
Well, exactly. Just, I saw the Judenshi go onto the thing, and I was like,
that's dumb.
Sure! You know what? That's a Ritter Siri, but okay. And then I watched him chuck it into the gun.
No!
Zero!
I actually had to pause the movie and pull it back and go, excuse me?
Yeah, no, I was just like, not alright.
Oh, children are gonna try and do that!
And this is where the movie derailed onto the fuck is even happening.
Oh my god.
So then they go Megazord mode or whatever, and so
they both pull out their Ultra Zords immediately.
Yeah, so we get Tokyo Rainbow and I forgot what the other one was called.
Gigant Kyoryugin.
Yeah, Gigant Kyoryugin. So then Daigo's like, here, take our fucking Judenshi! And then literally just make
the giant Judenshi
pop onto the fucking Tokyo Rainbow.
Onto Tokyo Rainbow in place of the main Reshes.
I thought that was kind of cool.
The fucking... Just when I looked at it and I saw the two final forms and I went, two of the dumbest looking Zords I've ever seen in my life. And then they switched materials and I went, I take it back, there it is! The two dumbest Zord combinations I've ever seen in my life!
And the whole Judenshi on Tokyo Rainbow wasn't even the dumbest thing. No, they had to do vice versa and have the giant Bragigas cannon thing
with all the
shoot the Reshers like fucking missiles!
Just all aboard the train to Nopesville.
I did notice something. Oh! I don't know if everyone caught it, but when they shot, like, the Reshas, you could actually see, if you look closely enough, that they had dinosaur Reshas. Like, you could see, like, a Drakara Resha and shit like that. That was really cool. I like that.
Oh,
really,
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome.
Just
pretty awesome.
Total Nope train.
Wow.
Just, you know.
Hey.
Who the fuck were they even fighting in that battle? Was it Salamaz?
Oh, yeah! So fucking Salamaz is like...
Oh, we didn't even talk about that!
It's literally just...
A bunch of crows.
Like a cardboard train, and crows are just...
Piling them like children.
It's like a children making like a cardboard train for like a stage play or something.
He's got like Salamaz attack and
you
Salamaz...
You haven't seen my full power! Chugga, 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 chugga!
And
like,
somehow this salamander has electric attacks.
Yeah.
Like an eel.
I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go with it. Sure.
I'm like,
let's just do it.
I have lost all investment in this movie. Let's just get on with it.
Wow. I'm having fun, whatever, let's just keep going.
I haven't even seen that part because I literally walked in at the very end, so I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome!
That's just it.
Hearing you guys yell about this is making me want to watch
the I have it on the stage.
For everything fucking stupid that the Sentai members managed to pull off, the villain goes and one-ups them on the fucking front of the goddamn am I watching. The actual fuck even was the latter half of this movie!
So then, once they've defeated Salamaz,
the musical.
They have to get through this barrier that's preventing them from fighting, what the fuck was the villain's name?
Debius.
The villain who apparently was the guy who created Deboss, that's the guy they hinted at the end of Kyoryuger.
Oh, that's right! That's cool. Continuity!
So Light decides to solve the problem of the barrier the same way he solves every giant-sized problem, and ram the fucking Red Resha into it.
Yep.
Which works, of course.
Yeah.
And they plow the Red Resha into the space station, because that's the base that fell out of the sky. We forgot to mention that Lady from the Galaxy Line movie was in the opening bit of this movie.
Oh, who gives a fuck about her?
But she doesn't matter.
No.
So
I saw her come up on screen at the beginning of the movie.
Am I watching the right movie?
Yeah. Minimize window? No, sorry, a movie.
Okay.
That's what Dave said when he
saw it. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck movie are you watching? You're watching the wrong fucking movie, guys!
Oh, I get it.
It's a cameo.
I don't get it.
So, Light plows the train into the evil space station, and of course, Kyori Red snuck aboard because sneaking aboard the Rainbow Line is the cool thing to do the last year. So Kyori Red and Tokyo Ichigo each take on
fucking thing.
Yeah, they take on the final boss by themselves, whose design is actually pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah,
and he's voiced by Kintaros.
Is he?
He sounds like it.
Cool.
Oh, sorry, my voice is dying.
Yeah, mine too. We're all dying now.
So they're both arguing with each other. It's just like,
while the final boss is shooting at them.
Yeah, they're just like, the bravery, imagination, bravery, imagination. So then,
abomination!
So Dago goes carnival.
Oh, abomination!
Dago goes carnival.
Imagery.
Oh, okay, well, before we get to that final fight, whatever, they do have a moment where, like, because apparently the Kyoro just got badly injured in the Zord fight, and so they're, like, the Tokyo just actually have like a really serious moment where they're up on a rooftop and they're just like,
quick, we
gotta do this, like,
with really good cinematography.
Like, yeah, it was really good. And Akira just like comes in, he's just like, yeah, we gotta do this, you guys. And then Daigo's like, he wakes up and he's listening. He's just like, huh, yeah. And then like gives a brief looks at all the Akira just a second. He's just like, I got this. It's okay. You guys rest. I got this. But yeah, so then in the fight with the final boss, whatever, literally, Daigo pulls a Goku, episode 3 Goku from Dragon Ball Z, where he just holds Daigo and he's like, take the shot, Piccolo! Take the shot!
But what if I kill you, too?
But before that,
I'll be fine!
I'll be fine!
But before
last
that,
guy who said that cut a hole through his chest.
But before that, like, they both pull out their super forms, and individually they get destroyed. So Light's sitting there in his human form, still with the Daikanten cannon for some
making
goddamn reason.
Making the fucking dumbest face. I was just,
And Daigo's like, here, take my power. And he gives him a battery that turns into the fucking Gabutira Resha.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had enough of that.
I know.
And so he loads it onto the Daikanten cannon, and then he starts running at the villain, and I'm like, you know that's a gun, right?
Point blank.
So we,
now, I was thinking with that was that he was gonna go up and pull a Gokaiger, put the fucking gun right up against his chest, and be like, "Fuck you!" and blow a fucking hole through him.
Imagine
no,
this.
He takes like 5 steps forward and just fires the gun anyway.
He just jumps and fires at him like the least accurate shot possible. Yep. And somehow lands it, and Daigo escapes.
It's okay.
Mostly unarmed.
It was originally a Jidenshu, right? Yeah. So you know when they fire their gun, they fire it straight up anyway. It fucking curves.
Yeah, my god. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
My god.
Yeah, so then Daigo literally pulls a full Nelson on Debius and just like.
And
Light
finishes him off.
And it's like, is he dead? Nope, he rolled out of it.
No, and so then he's like gravely. So then Daigo's gravely injured more than he already was, and he's just like, oh, leave me here. And Light's just like, no, we're going together.
No,
and
the
then
Pink Ranger will
the
kill
whole
me.
Thing blows up. The Kyo Rangers and Tokyo Rangers are back, like, together, whatever, like that. And they're like, oh no, he's dead. And then no, they come out fine.
Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, you're cool. Yeah, you're cool too. Let's take a photo. Okay, bye. Back to our respective journeys.
So that well.
And then he got big.
That wasn't it yet.
Was it? I can't.
No, Monster got big.
So
now.
Then,
right, right.
Devius comes back, and he's like, "Oh, you haven't defeated me yet, or whatever." And
oh,
then
geez.
They're like, "Okay." They do this awesome transformation sequence because, like, the versus transformation.
Yeah, they do the
cool.
Team up henshin.
So, like, Tokyuichi, they all do like their Tokyuichigo, but the helmet forms around them while they're doing their pose.
After they say their bits.
And then Kyoichi does a really cool one too. And then they do their roll calls.
And then the bad guys show up.
Yeah. So
wait,
then
the other
oh, yeah.
Kyoichi
show
up.
Just,
and
he's
like there's
cameras.
More of you?
Which is Yuko as Cyan,
yep.
Shinya as Gray,
mm-hmm.
Dantetsu as Silver,
yep.
And Yayoi as Violet.
Yeah.
And then the bad guys show
yeah,
and,
so
then, and they do their skit where they do their
well,
pose.
Okay. Narrow
wait, and then they do their pose, and then the bad guys show up, and then the fucking burn guy does his pose,
yeah.
And then he's like, what, you guys aren't doing it either?
Yeah, so the Shadowline
shows
up, which is Mork, Zet, Nero, and
yeah.
And Noir. And after the Rangers had done all their poses, Nero breaks into his own, like, fully animated Sentai-style roll call. The Hero of Darkness!
Nero!
Nero! And, like, none of them else do it. And they're like, just me?
Hiko!
Oh, okay. I was
Never.
Like, that's
that
amazing!
Was, that,
that, no, that was fun.
That was
fun.
That needs
funny.
To be a wallpaper.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So then they proceed to fucking, like, fight and...
They do, like, 20
yeah.
Victory, Bravery, Imagination, Charge, Super Attack, and blow up Devius.
And they win.
And
no, they blow up his wings first.
Oh,
yeah,
they
shoot him.
They straight up Carter Grace
yeah,
him and
like,
shoot
they,
him out of the sky.
Like, hmm. Shoot him in the wings! Okay! Boom!
And
falls down. And then they just, like...
Yeah.
Everyone aim at one point in the sky, and they all shoot at the same point in the sky, and then it fires a big beam and blows them up.
Yeah. The Genki Dama his ass.
And then they take a picture, and then they
yeah.
fuck off.
And then, yeah. Credits roll. Sorry, we're tired. It's late.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta stop doing this so late.
Yeah, we try.
Paul!
No. We gotta stop doing this so long.
Well, there was a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, we're almost 2 hours.
Oh, boy. Okay, so,
I think we're good.
Thank you for joining us for another week. Next week is the Gatai special. As usual, you can find us... Shut up. As usual, you can find us, castranger.podbean.com, Radio Sentai Cast Ranger on iTunes and Facebook, and tweet at us at IXY Studios.
Listen to us and shit.
And don't forget to subscribe to the official YouTube channel for My Friends Think They're Funny at youtube.com/gamersdeliteyt.
Do that.
Bye.
Okay, we love you all. See you next week.
Bye.